Walk the dogs, school drop-off, meetings from 10 to 3, take kids to soccer, then no time left for a jog.
When everyone else is relying on you, it's easy to put your needs last. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online, so you can show up for yourself the way you do for others. Visit betterhelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/positive.
What you watch depends on what kind of mood you're in. Sometimes you're craving comedies like Friends or South Park, and sometimes you're more into dramas like HBO's Succession and House of the Dragon. There's also cooking shows like Chopped and Beat Bobby Flay, and even movies like The Lord of the Rings and Shazam! Fury of the Gods. Well, Max is the streaming destination that has the best of entertainment for whatever mood you're in anytime. And plans start at as little as $9.99 a month. Max, the one to watch. Subscription required. Visit max.com.
Happy Almost Friday! Oh, that was pretty cool. Not even on purpose, I swear. Whether it's your Thursday night still, like it is in Denver, or I mean, technically, I guess, it's now 1 a.m. in Denver, but most people don't wake up at 1 a.m. They see it from the other side, right? So people say to me, even sometimes when I walk in the door downstairs, the security guards will say to me, good morning. It's, I don't know, 12:15 Eastern time. Good morning. What? I haven't slept yet. It's not morning. It's pitch black outside. I mean, I would rather see midnight from nighttime than from having it be my morning and waking up, if that makes sense. I'm not expressing myself particularly fluidly right now, but it's not my morning. I try to stay on West Coast hours, even though I live in the Eastern time zone. It's because I have to. But the people who right now are listening to us, a lot of them, we have a variety of people, different cross sections, but a lot of people who are listening to us on the left half of the country or from the left half of the country are still awake on their Thursday night. I'm still awake on my Thursday night. And so that's why it fits me. Now we'll continue through. And once all of our straggling time zones get into Friday, then we can officially say it. But my brother, this is a great example, actually. My brother and his family are all in Hawaii right now. They're finishing up their last few hours in Hawaii. And we do have a station in Honolulu, so we know people are listening in Honolulu. It's only 9 o'clock p.m. on Thursday right now in Honolulu. They happen to be 6 hours behind Eastern time zone and 3 hours behind those of you in the Pacific time zone. So for them, it would be ridiculous for me to say happy Friday because it's not their Friday. I try to be mindful of all of our time zones. We obviously have people who listen north of the border. We have people who listen internationally as well. But yeah, even those of you who are in California or you're in Washington or Oregon or Arizona, like I say, we have stations and affiliates all over the country. It would be weird for me to say good morning or happy Friday. So I'm trying to be mindful of you. And my brother and sister-in-law, get this. I understand when you go east to west, you pick up the hours, right? So when they left from Washington, D.C. on the Tuesday last week when they flew to Hawaii, they actually got to Hawaii at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So they did the entire drive. They went to Seattle first, from D.C. to Seattle, and then from Seattle to Hawaii. And they were there by 1 o'clock in the afternoon. How crazy is that? So they took off at 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern time from D.C., went through Seattle, but got to Hawaii at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. It's pretty sweet.
That sounds like a long day.
Yeah, that conversion of time. Well, right. They were in bed by 6:30 Hawaii time that night. But the point is, you get there and you save all this time, right? You essentially go back in time, which is kind of cool. But coming the other direction, they're leaving Hawaii at 10:30 Friday morning, local time. They don't get back until early morning Saturday in D.C. So it's almost 24 hours of travel. Now, they do have a layover on the West Coast, but still, 24 hours of travel in the United States, for heaven's sakes.
You technically don't exist that day. Right? I mean,
no, you exist and you're exhausted from all the traveling, but you lose a whole lot of time. So, yeah, it sounds like a bore. Well, it sounds like a bear, actually. I am going to be heading to Hawaii sometime in the very near future. It's on the bucket list. And so I'm going to have to be ready for that. Thinking a bunch of books. Because you know me, Jay. I cannot sleep on planes. I can't. Even when I went to Africa. So the way to Africa, because we had a tailwind going west to east right across the Atlantic Ocean. We were in the tube. The giant metal tube that flies through the air. We were in the tube for 20 hours. I slept 5 minutes. I had even taken Tylenol PM and I did not sleep. That's how I don't know what it is about my mind. I can't sleep sitting up and I really don't sleep well when there's people all around me and it's noisy, right? Even if you wear headphones, it's still, you're moving and anyway else. And I was in a middle seat, so it just, it just wasn't comfortable.
Yeah, that doesn't help.
I mean, I had people I knew on either side of me. It was a group of us that was going. But yeah, on the way back, 24 hours in the tube. 24 hours in the tube. Essentially, 24 hours spent almost entirely in one seat.
And you couldn't shave off any of that time sleeping?
I slept no minutes. On the way back.
0 minutes.
0 minutes. It was the worst. So for that reason, when Bob says to me, because I think Bob would like to travel to Africa. He's done some work there. We both done humanitarian mission trips there. I think we would both like to go back. But seriously, it was awful. I was a total disaster from that trip. Anyway,
your body doesn't know what the heck's going on.
The jet lag
after
and
that.
The not sleeping. Yeah, no joke. Awake. I mean, now I'm used to it, right? That was pre CBS Sports Radio. And I do these types of things where I'm up 30 plus hours at least once every 6 months, if not, you know, more frequently when I travel. But that's the issue is that I do not sleep on planes. So to go to Hawaii and come back.
Movies.
Series. I guess. Books. I'm thinking. Books. Bothering the people around me.
Yeah, that works too.
Just kidding. No, I don't talk on planes.
You think if you read enough, it'll like help you fall asleep or you'll start to daze?
Well, doze.
Maybe daze too.
You daze out. Peace out, baby. Yes, I do think it helps. And wearing headphones with music, there is some music. So for instance, Frank Sinatra. I can fall asleep to Frank Sinatra. I can doze to Frank Sinatra. It helps me. So that's one option. There are a couple of other artists where their music seems to be soothing, not elevator music. Michael Bublé is another one that really helps. I can fall asleep too. So yes, there is the option that I could read and kind of get my heavy eyelids and then hopefully doze. But it starts to become a mental thing. I get nervous. Right, it's in my head. It's like stepping up to the free throw line and, you know, you've practiced your free throws, you practice, but
once
now everyone's staring at you. Exactly. So yes, I do not sleep on planes, but Hawaii for sure. Hello, Hawaii. We're happy to have you with us. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Coming up in mere moments, Scott Hastings from Denver, former NBA big man himself. He's got a championship ring from his days with the Bad Boys. To me, that's just street cred right away. You played with the Bad Boys. You have a ring with the Bad Boys. Anyway, he's been in Denver for years and years, finished up his NBA career there, and is now part of Altitude TV, and we'll talk to him about this first ever NBA Finals game in the Mile High City. Adam Silver made his extensive State of the State comments to NBA fans and to reporters on Thursday. And we're going to drop some of this in throughout the course of the show. But one of the big topics right now is what to do with Ja Morant. So that was a question that he was asked more than once.
In assessing what discipline is appropriate, if that's the case. We look at both the history of prior acts, but then we look at the individual player's history as well. And so that and the seriousness, of course, of the conduct. So those are all things that get factored. It's not an exact science. It comes down to judgment at the end of the day on the part of me and my colleagues in the league office. In terms of the timing, we've uncovered a fair amount of additional information, I think, since I was still asked about the situation. I would say we probably could have brought it to a head now, but we made the decision, and I believe the Players Association agrees with us, that it would be unfair to these players and these teams in the middle of the series to announce the results of that investigation. And given that we're, of course, in the off season, he has now been suspended by the Memphis Grizzlies indefinitely, and so nothing would have changed anyway in the next few weeks. It seemed better to park that at the moment, at least any public announcement. And my sense now is that shortly after the conclusion of the finals, we will announce the outcome of that investigation.
Very deliberate language used by the commissioner, Adam Silver. In other words, they're not going to upstage the NBA finals because they recognize what a big brouhaha this will be. Number two, they don't need to right now because he's already suspended by the Grizzlies. And so he's not with the team. They're not doing a lot right now anyway, but he's not with the team. And they are content with that. They don't think he should be around the team. At this point, they need him to not be partaking in anything to do with the league until they can make their final determination. But then you also hear him talk about the different evidence, the different information they've uncovered, and the fact that they want to make sure they've done everything they can. And even though it is a judgment call, that Adam Silver specifically speaks to colleagues and also the NBA Players Association he mentions too. So that was one of the topics that came up for his State of the State address. Another one, and I appreciate that this also was addressed by Commissioner Silver, the experienced, proven, in some cases, championship coaches who are getting fired. And if the mentality of what have you done for me lately, as in the last year, is too much of a burden to bear. Now think about it, and we'll hear from Nick Nurse as we head through the show. But Nick Nurse, fired in Toronto. He's being hired in Philadelphia to replace Doc Rivers, who was fired in Philly. Mike Budenholzer is still out there. He won a championship in Milwaukee. We know that Monty Williams just got another job in Detroit. So they're essentially getting recycled, which is crazy. And I know fresh starts, and depending upon what career you're in or what job field you're in, maybe this is your experience as well. I know it is for me. I've been fired and rehired and fired and rehired, yada, yada. But it's stark, the number of experienced coaches who have been fired only to turn around and get hired somewhere else.
I wouldn't say it's concern, because when you look at the numbers, it's actually not that aberrational. You've been doing this a long time too, David, that there is that, you know, revolving door of coaches. What's interesting is some of those same championship coaches, of course, have already been hired on other teams. So it's a marketplace. But again, I think that's something that ultimately has to be controlled by the teams. I am, though, just personally, because been at this a long time and they're personal friends, and I think that sometimes I get it from a team or a fan standpoint. You're doing everything you can to win, but it's rough to get fired. It's rough on that coach's family. It requires dislocation. It's embarrassing. But the good news is, seemingly, the great coaches, the ones that have proven track records, get rehired somewhere else. And it may just be not, and I don't think they go from being championship level coaches to bad coaches one or two seasons later. It's for whatever reason that sometimes change is just necessary, a different voice. I mean, we all know how that works. But the good news is, it seems that talent continues to get recognized, and the great coaches get rehired somewhere else.
A little bit from the commissioner, Adam Silver, because there are some definite trends that you can see developing. Another one is rules changes that he'll talk about, or we'll hear from him talk about. But that was part of his State of the State address on Thursday. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Also, in addition, we've got Brad Stevens and the Celtics exit interviews too, and the determination of their coaching situation and what they'll do there, and also a little bit about Jaylen Brown. But before we take our break, and we've got our guest from Denver coming up next, I've been teasing you about a wacky show question. Are you ready? Roger Federer has been hired by Waze, the map app, to voice directions for drivers if they so choose. Listen to this.
Hello, it's Roger here. Come behind the scenes as we've just been shooting everything for Waze, all the different voices, English, French, and German. So I'm going to try to get you from A to B as safely as possible, as quickly as possible. I hope you enjoy it. Make sure you pick my voice, and we'll have a good time doing it together as partners. Hazard reported ahead. Let's look sharp.
Wir haben unser Ziel erreicht und einen unglaublichen Sieg errungen. Zeit für eine Champagnerdusche.
You used to seeing me on the court, but now you can take a ride with me. Activate the Roger Federer experience on Waze. Enjoy your next journey by my side.
Roger Federer, courtesy of Waze. Now, I got to tell you, I love Roger Federer. He's one of my favorite athletes of all time. He's the GOAT. Well, okay, he's been passed in terms of his Grand Slams now by Rafa and Novak, but I still think of Roger Federer as the greatest men's tennis player ever, regardless. He sounds a little awkward as he's telling people that there's a hazard ahead.
Hazard reported ahead.
But I love his voice. And I wouldn't mind listening to him give me directions. This is brilliant.
Let's look sharp.
This is brilliant by Waze. Jane, I think this is brilliant because I would go sign up for Waze if it was the voice of an athlete or a celebrity or an entertainer that I wanted to hear. Could you imagine? This could be a booming business.
Brilliant.
I'm sure they're paying him a buttload of money. Not that he needs it. He's richer than rich. But I think this would draw a lot of people to the Waze app. So we're asking you, what athlete, celebrity, or entertainer would you most like to hear give you directions on a map app, a driving app? Jay, have you thought about it? Jay's going to put the post up on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page. I've actually thought about a couple. I do love the British accent. I was thinking maybe Harry Kane.
That's a good one.
English footballer. But there are others that I can think of, too. So that's the question tonight. As Roger Federer teams up to give you, or teams up with Waze to give you directions, what athlete or celebrity would you most like to hear guiding you through the streets? So funny. Hazard ahead. But you could hear it in multiple languages.
Hazard reported ahead. Let's look sharp.
All right, straight ahead. Speaking of ahead, we've got Scott Hastings in Denver following the Nuggets' first ever NBA Finals game. It's After Hours with Amy.
T-Mobile's network can help keep you connected to all your favorite podcasts when you're out and about. Whether you're an early bird looking to dive into a daily news podcast or a night owl who wants to catch up on the latest reality TV drama, T-Mobile will keep you connected on their strong and reliable network. T-Mobile covers more highway miles with 5G than anyone. So if you need great coverage, especially when you're on the go, check out T-Mobile. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/CY. That's SEEWHY.
Your points are worth more than you think. This first-class flight to Tokyo, you can book it in your credit card portal for 1.4 million points. Yowzers. With PointMe, you could redeem just 120,000 points for that same flight. Now that's more like it. PointMe gets you 6 to 12 times the value for your points. Your credit card points are worth more than you think. PointMe. Better flights. Fewer points.
Get started today at point.me. That's point.me.
Hey, can you hear me?
Okay, good. Well, so can your potential customers. Right here on your Odyssey station. You might be used to skipping social ads, but you are still listening to me right now. And so are your clients. To learn how to drive more business and how Odyssey can help get your message to your customers, visit stateofaudio.com. That's stateofaudio.com.
Did you know CD rates are having a moment? If you've been looking in the wrong places, you might have missed that CD rates are the best they've been in 15 years. No joke. It's the right time to find rates in your best interest because better rates allow your money to earn more money. CD Valet brings you the clearest picture of today's rates, all compiled in one place. Ditch the BS of biased rate shopping and visit cdvalet.com to see today's straight-up rates.
Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Jamal Murray across the timeline. Shot clock is turned off. Miami's not going to foul. 7 seconds left to go in the Mile High City. Denver's going to win game number one of the NBA Finals. There's the horn. Nikola Jokic triple double. Nuggets win it by 11, 104-93. Three more wins, and you win the title.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Jason Kosmicki on Denver Nuggets Radio. We're going to go a different direction for tonight's guest. He comes from Altitude TV, part of the family of broadcasters, one of the top analysts for Nuggets games on Altitude TV, and a former NBA big man himself, won a ring with Detroit going back to the late 80s and the early 90s. And so it's always our privilege to welcome Scott Hastings to the show. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I know you've done a bunch of interviews. You've been working, getting ready for the NBA Finals. After all this time, and you spent a couple years of your career there in Denver to wrap up, after all this time waiting, what was it like inside Ball Arena for the first finals game in franchise history, Scott?
Well, Amy, I'll tell you what. First of all, the fans all playoff long have just been unbelievable, as loud as I've ever seen. It's like every game you say, well, it can't get any louder, and somehow it does. Tonight was just stupid crazy, to be honest with you. They were ready. I talked to a guy who was doing a stand-up. We do a pregame for Altitude. So I'm outside with fans and so on and so forth. This guy comes by, and he's, you know, kind of a assisted little scooter-like thing. And he's been a season ticket holder for 40 years.
Wow.
And he was 90 years old.
Oh!
So it's reached a whole new level. I mean, this team, since, you know, goes all the way back to the ABA days and one of the teams that came over in the merger. So, I mean, this is 50 plus years in the making, if you will. And it was pretty special tonight. And, you know, your first game in the playoffs, so you get your first win.
Well, you were part of the Detroit Pistons when they won in the late 80s. So what does it mean to a franchise to win a championship?
Well, I was fortunate enough to come up and carry a lot of players' bags. Lambert let me carry his bag in the airport. And so I was on the second of the back-to-back, and it was, it was special. I mean, until you, as a player, until you kind of live in that moment, until you get into a game and realize I got in and got to play in game three in Portland, it's just different. And it's a game that you played, you know, when I played in the playoffs, my birthday was game 7 of the Eastern Conference playoffs that I turned 30, and that was the Scottie Pippen migraine day. And so I'm 30-year-old playing in my first finals, my only finals. After a while, I mean, at first, you know, you might be dribbling down your leg a little bit, but then all of a sudden you realize it's just basketball. It's no different than Junction City, Kansas, playing in the state championship. But it's intense. Every play seems to matter. I think these guys have figured that out. This is a focused basketball team. I can tell you that. And I know a lot of people on the East Coast don't get to see them much, but this is a really talented, focused basketball team. You know, your best player, Nikola Jokic, you know, turned 28 in the season. Jamal Murray, an all-star caliber player, is 27. Michael Porter is 24. Christian Brown played tonight as a rookie. I think he's 22. This is a focused, good team, and they're also young.
When you think about all the different pieces that had to fall into place for this team to not only win the top seed, but to run through the playoffs the way that they have, why is this the year in which it seemingly is coming together for them, or at least enough for them to get to the finals?
Well, I'm not sure, and I think this is probably good for everybody too. I think COVID slowed everybody's progress down a little bit. They did play in the Western Conference Finals in the bubble, and you know, everybody who said it was down there we start a conversation, you're not having a crowd like we saw tonight in the bubble, or like we'll see next week in Miami. I mean, they started to do something then, but then all of a sudden, you know, the next year, Jamal Murray late in the season, and you're rolling. I mean, it looks like, hey, here's your chance, maybe you do something special this year. And Jamal Murray tears his ACL late in the season. And then you get, you know, so he's out the whole next year. Porter plays 9 games and has to get out and has another back surgery. So it's they're healthy, to be honest with you. That's first and foremost. Gordon's paying dividends, and that was a trade they had a few years ago, the year that Murray gets hurt, and that was the place to play against the big fours that they were going to play, like of the Lakers and the Clippers. But then your next year without Murray, you're playing Steph Curry and Golden State,
right.
and you know, whole lot different. I mean, it's not any easier, but it's a whole lot different chasing Kawhi when you're similar size than chasing Steph Curry. So then you get back, Murray comes back, he's getting more healthy, and then the management adds, you know, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, who's been a godsend in a trade, and then somehow, I think, Amy, to be honest with you, you can look this up, I'm not sure the most positive, most maybe I think it's the best free agent pickup as far as helping the team win with Bruce Brown, getting him on the market and getting him fairly cheap, you know, in NBA standards. I mean, I'll take a $6 million salary if someone wants to give me one. Now, all of a sudden, guess what? Gordon could go guard the bigger guys, and you've got KCP and Bruce Brown and a rookie in Christian Brown. That now you can slot, you know, and all three of them could guard, you know, basically one to four.
We're so excited to have Scott Hastings with us from Denver after the Nuggets' first NBA Finals game in franchise history. He's part of Altitude TV, spent some time interviewing players after the game, and is jumping on with us here after hours, CBS Sports Radio, former big man himself in the league. What did the players have to say about a couple of things? Number one, waiting nearly 10 days to get back on the court, because that's a long time and it's out of routine, but also about getting a chance to participate in essentially this promised land where every NBA player wants to go.
You know, I almost think the 10 days now, especially the way they kind of came out and really through three quarters, you know, took it to Miami. I think it helped them. Nikola had been fighting most playoffs with the sore wrist. Murray, anytime he can get, you know, an ACL, even though he's had all year, just more rest. Because I thought there was a time his legs were getting a little tired in that Phoenix series. He got rest. KCP's banged up a little bit. So I think from that standpoint, it was good. And then I watched, and maybe you guys could go back and look at it. Jamal Murray had a press conference, I think it was yesterday, and I watched him speak. And listen, I've covered all their 82 of their games this year, so I'm around them a lot. And I watched him talk, and I went, oh, God, they're focused.
Mm.
There wasn't a, you know, read our press clippings, be satisfied with what we did through these first three rounds and so on and so forth. And I'm like, oh. Listen, I got a chance to cover the Denver Broncos, their first two Super Bowl wins. I was the color analyst on radio for that.
Wow.
And I remember that team, the Broncos, finally winning their first Super Bowl and being around those guys the week before the Super Bowl. That was as focused I'd ever seen them. And it's very similar. It reminds me a little bit of what this team is going on right now.
I love, though, that Jamal Murray still has the emotion that's associated with it, too, telling a story about doing NBA final shots in his driveway when he was a kid for the championship, but also the fact that he did have to sit out and didn't have an opportunity to get back to the postseason until now, and how much it means to him to be healthy and of course, out there shooting the lights out.
He's unbelievable. I've always said it, and I said it the year he was rolling the year he tore his ACL before he tore his ACL up. Nikola Jokic is Denver's best player, and it's not close. Especially when if you're really honest, he probably is the best player in the world right now. But Jamal Murray is Denver's heart and soul. He is Denver's emotion. He's the guy that. The crowd is just waiting for him to give them a glance so they can just explode. When he's in that zone making shots, and all of a sudden that confidence goes, you know, from a cub lion to a full-grown Simba's daddy lion, it becomes pretty special.
Scott Hastings is with us from Denver following game one of the NBA Finals. Yes, a double-figure win, though. As you point out, they were up by 20-something, and the Heat made a run there in the fourth. It's after hours on CBS Sports Radio. Nikola Jokic, He definitely is a guy who can dominate in many facets. And he had double-figure assists in the first half of this game, long before he ever took a shot. And yet there are some who would say he really just fills up a stat sheet. He's not that good. You see him all the time. What makes him so effective and so good on the court, Scott?
His intelligent level is off the chain. If you go back to the first part of the game, how Miami was playing him, and you got to choose what you're going to do with him, and that's why he's so good. Do you want to, you know, let him score and then lock everybody down? Well, fine, then he'll get 53 or 54 points on you. Do you want to double keep him away from scoring? Then you better be good on the weak side, because he's going to find people. He's the only star I've ever been around. I've been around a lot of them that honestly doesn't care. If Denver would have won today and he had 8 points, 10 or 12 rebounds and 10 or 12 assists, he'd have been just as happy as anybody, you know, in the world. And it's not, there's no phony to him. Numbers don't mean a thing to him. It's coming out, you know, the ledger says a W. A lot of guys say that, Amy. And you've been around a lot of them that, you get off the interview and go, well, that was a crock of, you know what. that ain't Joker. Joker doesn't care about anything except winning. But now he's also 7'1" and 280 pounds. He's got the hands of and the vision of a Magic Johnson. He's got a Tim Duncan touch around the basket. He can shoot it. In fact, his form looks a little bit like Larry Bird at times.
It does.
He just, there's nothing phony about this cat. He's not phony. And anybody that don't think he's any good and it's all about stats, then you've really not watched him play.
As we've heard more and more from Michael Malone, because he's been in the spotlight more and more, two things have impressed me about the coach. Number one, he is the first guy to say, if we don't win a title, all of this is wasted. All of this was for nothing. We're not happy with just getting the one seed. We're not happy with just getting to the West Finals or the NBA Finals. So I really like that about him. But also the fact that he is salty now. He's got this chip on his shoulder, in part because of Nikola Jokic and the fact that he doesn't get the respect that Mike thinks he deserves, but also he's finding bulletin board material everywhere, Scott. It cracks me up. This guy, he'll use any tool available right now.
Well, and sitting there in New York somewhere is his dad, who, you know, has got 20 plus years, 30 years of coaching in the NBA. So I'm sure there are some information being passed around. But we've seen people and teams use this. No one respects us. Tom Brady used it in Tampa Bay the year they won a Super Bowl. And I'm like, you're Tom Brady. No one disrespects you or makes you an underdog. No one. But they used it. If you go back and remember, they used it that year for motivation. So Denver has a legitimate case. And I won't say his name. But he writes for a major publication that just had a swimsuit issue come out. And he's sitting there talking about Nikola and why he didn't vote. He goes, well, you know, I watched him play. I checked in the last month of the season. Well, the last month of the season was April, and they'd already basically clinched the Western Conference and basically didn't play anybody. Their last five games, they played nobody. I mean, we're getting Peyton Watson, who was one of their draft picks this year, who'd been down the G League. You know, he's balling, and he actually played pretty good. In fact, I think it upped his stock for next year. But they played absolutely nobody. Well, if that's the only time you watch these guys, or you watch Nikola play, you know, 14 minutes in a game and think, well, what's so special? Then, you know, you've done him a service. It was the same guy that in January was the player of the month. And the same guy in February that was the player of the month. You didn't take time to watch that part. So, and I think that there's a legit storm about it. Lisa Salter, after their first game against the Lakers, she was on a podcast and said, yeah, I haven't seen the Nuggets play. They're as good as people say.
You know what? Even if that were true about me, I would never admit it. Never.
Ever. Because we got experience. And right. I said on the radio, I said, even that's the truth, you never say that.
Thank you. All right, Scott, before I let you go, they're just one game in. There's obviously a long way to go. And we know what Miami is capable of. They are resilient. They're tough. They will find a way to recalibrate. What do the Nuggets need to do to win the series? What are some of the keys?
Well, I think they got to play fast. I think they're a better team playing fast. Miami end up changing the game in that second half, in that fourth quarter anyway, and slowed the game down and kind of got it grinded the game up and got back in it. That's how they can win a game or a series. I don't think they're going to win a series, but I think they can win a game or so. But if Denver plays quick and they get Miami moving, they don't have enough size. I think it shocked Miami tonight because Aaron Gordon's been kind of quiet offensively through this whole series. And they said, well, okay, some guard's going to have to guard Aaron Gordon, who's a grown man. And Aaron Gordon was just destroying people in that first quarter.
Yes.
So I think they got to play quick. I think that's their best. And then with Miami, you can't turn it over. Whoever wins the possession battle, I think, you know, is going to win. You watch Boston in those games that they beat Boston. They outshot them from three, and they turned them over. If Denver keeps their turnovers down, they've been a good three-point shooting team all year. They were top five all year. I think they're top three during the postseason. If they continue to shoot and don't turn the ball over, I think it's going to be rough for Miami.
Denver off to a good start with a double-figure win and their first NBA Finals game in franchise history there in the Mile High City. Scott Hastings, part of Altitude TV, is an analyst covering the team all year long, former NBA big man himself with a ring. It's always good to catch up with you. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes.
You know what? Anytime, Amy. Good to talk to you again.
Definitely. Scott losing his voice a little bit, but we're happy to have him. It's a long time to be talking, not through the game, around the game, to players before and after the game. So good stuff, too, and always funny. I love when he drops stories from his time in the association. All right, we're asking you, in light of, good thing that didn't happen during the conversation. In light of Roger Federer teaming up with Waze to voice directions for average drivers around the globe in multiple different languages, we want to know, which athlete, entertainer, celebrity would you most like to give you directions? Which voice do you want guiding you through the streets, through the fierce streets? So that's on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or my Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then also on our Facebook page. Still have our poll up, Chip or Ship. Some of the reactions from you all are cracking me up. Between that and whether or not the whale video is real, we struck it rich with some different goofy stuff this week. Happy Almost Friday to you, or if you're into your Friday morning, boom, baby.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Guys, I'll get to the point right away. I'm retiring for good. I know the process was a pretty big deal last time, so when I woke up this morning, I figured I'd just press record and let you guys know first. I could go on forever. There's too many. Thank you guys for allowing me to live my absolute dream. I wouldn't change a thing. Love you all.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Well, that was then, and this is now. Tom Brady did this to us before, so should we believe him when he gives us a second retirement announcement? Not everybody does believe him, actually. If you pay attention to some of the NFL Network shows or some of the NFL chatter out there, or you happen to catch Troy Aikman doing interviews, not that he professes to have any inside information, but you're saying there's a chance. Well, at least some people are. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Troy Aikman making an appearance on The Rich Eisen Show. And I will confess I did not hear the interview. This is generally happening when I'm in bed. But Rich brought up the possibility of Tom Brady returning to play for the Raiders for a couple of reasons. Number one, he is buying into ownership. And number two, Jimmy Garoppolo just had a surgery when he signed with the Raiders. And even though Josh McDaniels will tell anybody who listens, he's not concerned, he's not worried. Apparently, it's great. It's great. It's great fuel for the fire if people don't want to accept that Brady is retired.
I don't want to speak for Tom. I wouldn't rule anything out. He obviously, you know, has a relationship with the head coach. He knows the offense. He'll keep himself in great shape. I'm a big Jimmy Garoppolo fan, so I'm really pulling for him. But I would bet that just nothing's off the table as far as, you know, what may occur during the season or what Tom's role may be. I think he's done playing, but you just never know. Those things kind of just happen out of nowhere. You don't really predict them or plan for them. But I know he doesn't. I don't know, but I'm sure he doesn't want to talk about those things.
Right.
But everybody else can.
Oh, no, he actually does want to talk about those things. In fact, in an interview with Sports Illustrated, he was asked about the potential for him to return to a football field.
I'm certain I'm not playing again, so I've tried to make that clear, and I hate to continue to profess that because I've already told people that lots of times. But I'm looking forward to my broadcasting job at Fox next year. I'm looking forward to the opportunity ahead with the Raiders, and we're in the process of that, along with the other different things that I'm a part of professionally and in my personal life, just spending as much time with my kids as I can and seeing them grow up and support the different things that they have going on. And that's a very important job, and I take them all pretty seriously.
He did an interview with SI and mentioned he didn't like getting hit or didn't want to get hit anymore either.
I'm 45 years old, man. There's a lot of shit going on.
Yeah, he's got a lot of bleep going on. And so he did tell, I think it was ESPN initially, that it's a dream come true for him to become a part-time NFL owner. So he does want to remain in the league in a different sense. Can't imagine him coaching. That's not his thing. So it doesn't fit his personality. So instead, he will be a broadcaster and he will be a part-time NFL owner. And I think it's interesting, at least to my knowledge, I could be totally wrong, we've never had a part-time owner of an NFL team also serve as a broadcaster, an in-game analyst. Heavens, Amy, get it together. We've never had that. Is it a conflict of interest? We've never had that conflagration. Okay, so it's a good thing we're ending the hour because right now I can't seem to speak clearly. Talking is hard. We've never had that conflagration. There we go. And so Tom Brady is a part-time owner. Will he not do Raiders games? Now, we sometimes have former players who call games for their own team, so I'm not sure if it's the same thing. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.